Blog Talk Radio.
There is a watchman on the wall, bringing forth the written word of God to one and all. Are you getting ready? Will you stand or will you fall? Listen to the watchman on the wall. Listen to the watchman on the
Arise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. A new day has dawned. All over the earth, men and women are arising. It's time for the sons of God to awake. It is a day of justice, recompense, restoration, revival, and resurrection power.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. This is Vincent Xavier, pastor of New Wine Ministries. Great to be with you on this Friday. Someone say, thank God it's Friday. Are we still allowed to say that? I remember many, many years ago, the TGIF, man, get off a long week. It has been a long number of weeks, and we have been so blessed and are so thankful for the glory that is taking place in our lives and in our ministry, that it's really just absolutely amazing. And yet, with all the glory that is going on and the transformation of people's lives, and if you want to know what really turns us on here at New Wine Ministry, Patricia and I, as the pastors of this ministry and our church, is to see people's lives change. And we just had a front row view of transformation in the lives of so many different people. It was absolutely amazing. Even unto this day, people are talking about the reproach that was rolled away off of their lives. And I can't think of anything greater for a human being, particularly a born-again, spirit-filled human being who has their name written in the Lamb's Book of Life, to undergo a surgical, strategic removal of shame, guilt, and condemnation. Honest to God, what could be better than a mind that is free from reproach? There's nothing better. A very poor person in the world that has a clear conscience before God is the richest person on the planet. It is the truth. There's a lot of rich people who can't sleep at night, and those who do are probably taking pills to do it. But in reality, unless the conscience is completely seared, money doesn't solve any problems whatsoever. But what does is the blood of Jesus. And we had an opportunity, and we are still hearing, even as we did last night in our Bible study, the testimony of people who came into the Feast of Tabernacles holding on to some reproach. It was sticking to them like honey on a piece of paper. You ever get honey on a piece of paper? It's hard to get the stick off. Well, that's how reproach is. And reproach, we've identified it as humiliation, condemnation, shame, guilt, you know, that ghost of the past. And yet people were saying they have been totally delivered and set free in that area of their lives. It's not to say that, presto, it's all gone. There's still a working out of our salvation with fear and trembling, but to witness the liberty. And then the contest. You know, there's always a contest. The enemy of man's soul is always contesting the ground that we take. And so there's opposition to our forward motion in Jesus. If you're a believer, you know what I'm talking about. You may have made some incredible steps in the right direction and have conquered some areas in your life and you're walking in your destiny and the promises of God, but the enemy is always there to try to push you off that ground. And maturity is staying planted, staying put. And so we're believing that as we enter into the midnight season, that there's going to be a continuum of joy, unspeakable and full of glory in the life of believers, regardless of what's going on around the world. And it's been quite a long journey, hasn't it, saints? I mean, we are living in unprecedented times. We are living in awesome times, glorious times. And what was so unique and so beautiful in the Feast of Tabernacles is that during those days, it's like the world didn't even exist. There was no anything going on in the world. You weren't distracted or somehow, you know, brought out of the realm of glory into the realm of the world. I mean, you were in it, and it was quite delightful. And I'm so thankful for that, and I praise God for that. And now we're being challenged. I think the whole country is being challenged, if not the whole earth. I get the feeling that the whole earth has already come under a large sway of the adversary, the devil, especially those countries that have rejected the gospel of Jesus Christ. You and I are pretty narrow-minded in our views. We believe that the gospel of Jesus Christ is the only truth in the earth. There's no other truth. There's no other name. It's not Buddha. It's not Confucius. It's not socialism or communism or any other ism. It's not Allah. It's not Muhammad. It is not Joseph Smith. It is not the Watchtower. It is not Catholicism in its organized structure. It is not the Pope. It is Jesus Christ, the only name on this earth that was given by God for truth and salvation from the darkness and the deception. You and I, most likely, have laid claim to that glorious name. You're a believer in Jesus. You started your journey so many years ago, most likely. And in your beginning journey, maybe you weren't living in the end times or the last days. Maybe that was the furthest thing from your mind. You didn't even know what that meant. You just know that one day you went to the altar and your heart was sincere. Whatever that altar was, whether it was at the bedside in your bedroom, whether it was at a church altar, maybe it was at a lake, who knows where you were the day that you humbled yourself and you cried out to God and you called upon the name of Jesus Christ, because somebody told you about that name. Somebody declared to you, there's a name, there's a person, his name is Yeshua, his name is Jesus. And that's usually what we hear in our country, the name Jesus. And somebody told you about that name, and you responded to that name, and you understood that connected to that name was a nature, and connected to that nature was a person. And it was a person that loved you so much that he died for you on the cross. And so you heard the good news of the gospel. And you came to a place of recognition because the Holy Spirit was convicting you without you even knowing the Holy Spirit. But he was the one drawing you to the Lord Jesus. He was the one that was reaching out to you, influencing you, kind of guiding without you even know he was guiding. And there you were, a human being steeped in sin, possessing a sin nature, nothing you could do about it. The sentence of condemnation was upon your life. The sentence of death was upon you, and you were on the wide road that leads to destruction, just like all of us. But along the way came some person, some idea through a magazine, a television program, or an individual that told us, Jesus Christ has a plan for your life. Jesus Christ loves you. Jesus Christ desires to forgive you. He wants to forgive you. He loves you. And we heard this message about him dying on a cross, shedding his blood, and paying the price for us, that our sins, there was nothing we could do to pay for our own sins. There was no religion, there was no works, there was nothing. We were completely bankrupt as far as appeasing the wrath of God. There was nothing except faith in God's Son, and we came to that conclusion. And so on that day, or in that 24-hour period of day, you and I, we confessed, we were sinners, and we asked that Jesus Christ, if he was everything people said he was, if he were the way, truth, and life, if he was the bread of life, the light of the world, the savior of the world, the Messiah of the world, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, the sacrificial Lamb of God. If you are all these things and you desire a place in my life, then come on in. You remember the day? I confessed Jesus Christ as my Savior, and he will become my Lord as I learn to obey him. And it happened. Something happened. He came into our hearts. He made his presence known. He opened our eyes to the Bible, which before that we had no desire to read. And all of a sudden we become students and disciples of the Word of God, the most ambitious, intellectual, deep words on the planet. We have become students of the words of God himself. What a journey. And then knowing that we didn't have the intellect ourselves, we didn't have the spiritual intelligence within ourselves because we were so darkened by our sin. But now that we're forgiven, now that we're washed, now that we're cleansed, God said, let me give you a gift. And he gave to you and I the Holy Spirit. And when the Holy Spirit came into our lives, something happened. Our eyes were open. Our mind became aware that God was something other than we always had thought him to be. We all had our perceptions about who God was and what we believed about God, but we found out by studying the book that our perceptions were wrong, that we needed an adjustment. We needed to yield to the Word of God and stop having the Word of God just yield to our appetites. And we saw in this Holy Spirit that was now in us, we had this new desire that we never had before. The only thing we ever desired before was our own selfish desires. But now we have this desire to know God and to know his will and a desire to even honor God by obeying God. This happened to us. This is a real experience. This is not make-believe. This is not religion. This isn't about going to church. This is about a relationship with God, and that God foreknew us, and that God chose us before the foundation of the world to know him, and that God sent his Son into the world to reconcile you and I back to the Father, and that God sent his Son and God sent his Spirit to work in us in eternal work, because God one day is going to fully inhabit us, because we are his dwelling place, and we are going to be his mobile tabernacle all over the universes of whatever he has created in other dimensions, whatever. I mean, it's incomprehensible right now. But to think that God knew you and that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in him would not perish but have everlasting life, and that the reality is there was a time in our lives we wanted to tell the whole world about Jesus. We wanted to tell the grossest sinner about Jesus. We wanted to tell him, your sin is bringing you farther away, and there's an eternal separation that you don't want to know anything about. Here's the way back to God. And we preach Jesus Christ. So this transformation, this change of life, this giving up the world and receiving the kingdom, this putting away of our own desires and embracing God's, picking up a cross and saying, you know what, I'm going to die to my ambition. I'm going to die to my selfishness. I'm going to die to my own right to be right. I'm going to follow the master. I want to be like Jesus. And we found in the Bible that God gave us the ability to do it. What an amazing journey. What an amazing journey. And all of a sudden, God began to clean our souls out. Remember, he began to adjust our thinking, and all these long-held ideas and thoughts and concepts we found out were false, that we were under a delusion, we were under a lie, we were filled with deception, we had belief systems that weren't right, and every one of them were challenged and confronted and overcome as we allowed the Word of God to change us. We were transformed from the inside out, and we were now speaking a new language. You talk about speaking in tongues, speaking in other tongues. We were absolutely speaking in other tongues, and our family members said to us, boy, girl, what's wrong with you? What happened to you? What are you in, some kind of a cult? What is this Jesus thing? I mean, they were religious, but they didn't understand the language we were speaking because they never took the time to read the Bible and definitely didn't walk in it. Some, not all, maybe you grew up in a Christian home. Whatever the case is, We have a new language. We started speaking. We had this new intelligence given to us. And so Paul writes in Corinthians that we have the intelligence of God within us, that the foolishness of God is wiser than men. And all of a sudden, we had this spiritual language. It was kind of like the apostles in the book of Acts when they were talking about the wonderful things of God, and the Sanhedrin was saying to them, these are unlearned men. Where did they get this knowledge? They were blown away by what they knew. That's kind of like us. They were a bunch of fishermen. And all of a sudden, they know these deep spiritual truths because they allowed Jesus Christ to fill their hearts. And so this is the journey you and I have been on. Now, all of a sudden, after all these years, after all this time of challenging our mind, of breaking yokes, generational bloodline curses being eradicated by the power of the cross of Jesus Christ, and through pure knowledge and through pure instruction, we began to see the deception in our own thinking. And we began to realize that there were nature attitudes and behavior patterns about us that weren't consistent with what God was saying. So we asked the Holy Spirit, come in, produce the fruit in my life. Change me, put love in my heart for people. Help me to forgive people. Help me to love people. Help me to love myself. Help me to forgive myself. Help me not to be offended. Help me to change. Help me to be delivered from fear and all these bad things. Help me not want to be like I used to be. I want to change. And when we began to change and taste the change, that it was good and that we were thriving in the love of God and the joy of the Lord and the peace of God, we wanted more of that. But we found there was another opposition. Not only was the devil furious that he lost his grip off of our lives, he was destroying us. We were his slaves. He did whatever he wanted us to do. He just put in our mind, we did it. It's Ephesians 2. But now that he lost that power, now our very own flesh nature that was inspired by the devil is saying, wait a second, I'm not here to die. I have desires. I have will. I have wants. And so our own human nature began to resist and oppose the divine nature, the new nature, the born again, new creation species that God called us to be. And so we've been in this battle. We've been putting off the old. We've been putting on the new. We've been seeking to operate out of the mind of Christ, which is the revealed will of God, plus the inspiration of the Holy Spirit to speak to us in a rhema word, in a personal word. So we're in this journey. Some of you have been journeying for 60 years, 70 years, 50 years, 40 years, 30 years, 20 years, whatever it is, you've been in your journey. All of a sudden, we now step into a paradigm shift. The world is changing, and we see it. But not only do we see it, we understand it, because we have the wisdom of Scripture. We have the Bible actually telling us what's happening in the world. We have the most incredible insight that even men that think they're shifting and doing things, you know, they're making it happen through their propaganda and through all their trickery and deceit and schemes and demonic activities. It's all been foretold that Jesus Christ, Father God, the Holy Spirit have written in this book. They're only doing what God said they would do. So we have the deep wisdom. We have the intelligence to understand what time it is. And what does it mean to you and I? Well, it means it's time to get serious about obeying and honoring what Jesus said to do in the last days. There are specific instructions to you and I who believe, who have been getting ourselves cleaned up before the Lord and purified our hearts by faith and by washing with the water of the Word of God and confessing and repenting and turning and walking and obeying and yielding and being broken and going through trials and persecutions and going through all this stuff as a disciple of Jesus Christ, because it's all working for a future glory and it's all working for an eternal glory. So much so that the Apostle Paul said that the present sufferings were not worthy to be compared to the glory that shall be revealed in us. Yes, all of this discipline, Moses, 40 years in training on the backside of a desert, being broken, humiliated, going through all kinds of stuff, absolutely emptying out his old identity as an Egyptian and bringing forth the new identity of the Hebrew that he really was. And all of that emptying out and filling up in preparation and encounters with God was for a moment in his life to do something great. Joseph, he goes through an experience where he's brought into prison. He's lied about. His brothers hate him. They want to kill him. He's sold into slavery. He's lied about. He's in the deepest dungeons of prison. But all those years of infamy are for a moment to bring him out for the eternal purpose of God, to bring him to the highest rank in the Egyptian Empire under Pharaoh. King David is running from Saul for what, 17 years? He's on the move. He's on the run. He's being, you know, hunted. For what? It's all useful to God to get him ready for the moment he would be the king that would unite the nation. And I just wonder, what is it about your life? What is it about your journey with Jesus that you have been through, but you have stayed the test? When David could have taken a spear and thrust it through Saul, he said, I'm not going to do it. Joseph, rather than disobeying and dishonoring God and saying, you know what, you're a rotten God. How dare you tell me all these dreams about how great life is going to be and all of a sudden put me in a prison, my brother's hating me? Joseph didn't do that. He said, I'm going to honor God anyways. He had to work out something in his life. And it goes on with every single case. What about you? Are you still in? Are you still a disciple? Are you still walking the walk? Or have you caved into mediocrity? Have you given up into stagnancy? Or are you moving forward? Is the river of God flowing in your life? And are you being led by the river of the Holy Spirit into destiny at a moment where God is going to release people that nobody's ever heard of? Are you one of them? And it doesn't matter if you're a male or a female, because I could talk about Deborah, how she became the judge in Israel. And all the men surrounded Deborah and said, what do we do? No, we're not talking male and female. We're talking about your life journey. We're talking about this generation of men and women, not on television, not in the limelight, not become wealthy and successful and rich by a business or whatever. I'm talking about people that have gone through the personal discipline of discipleship with the Lord, and the Holy Spirit took them into the fire. The Holy Spirit took them into the river, into the flood. The Holy Spirit took them into the wilderness. The Holy Spirit took them into places where they would be dishonored, disrespected, unloved, and just testing the daylights out of your heart. Now you pass the test. Are you still in? Are you still a believer? Have you rejected the offense towards somebody? Have you spit out the poison that was in your heart against somebody? Every time you hear their name, you want to go crazy. Have you gotten rid of that? Did you pass the test? You've been tested, brother. You've been tested, sister. We all have. Have you passed the test? Do you still love Jesus? Are you still in a relationship with him? Are you still moving with him? Is there still tenderness? Is there conversation, communication? Is it there? Are you alive with Jesus and the Holy Spirit? Are you there? Why? Why is that an important question to answer? Because, folks, the time has come. 40 years for Moses, it was time for God to raise him up. How many years for Joseph? The time came, raise him up. How many years in the wilderness with David? Time came to raise him up. It's time. God is about to bring out the backside of a desert, out of a prison, and out of the caves of Adullam in the wilderness of people that have never been heard of before. God is about to bring some forth with a supernatural anointing. Jesus Christ was driven by the Holy Spirit into the wilderness. He ate no food. He drank no water for 40 days and 40 nights. He was tempted of the devil in every area that men are tempted. When he was through, the angels of God came and ministered to him, gave him some food, some drink, and then it says he came in Luke chapter 4 in the power and the demonstration of the Holy Spirit. That same Holy Spirit that brought him first into the disciplining wilderness now brought him out in a supernatural anointing. And are you ready for a supernatural anointing? Are you there crying out, hands wide open, Jesus, Jesus, I love you. I'm here for you. You forgive me for everything I've ever done. I thrust away from me everything and anything that was not consistent with your word. Is that you? Because I'm telling you, there's an anointing coming. I'm telling you, there's a power coming, and it's designed for a people on this earth who know their God. They don't belong to a denomination. They're not about a little sect group. They're about individuals that love their Father. And they love their Father, they love their God, they love their Savior, they love the Holy Spirit, they love the anointing, they love the angels, they love heaven, they love eternal life, they love mercy, they love grace, they love forgiveness, they love hope. They know that no matter what goes on in this world, there's a supernatural reality that's eternal, whereas all of this is temporary. Is that you? God has a job for you to do. Do you believe it? Hallelujah. Do you believe it? You think your career in this world is more important than the job that God has for you to do right now to stand up and stand out in this darkened world? What is your job? Is it to build an ark? Is it to save people and prepare to hide people like Anne Frank did? Is it time for the Corrie Ten Boom story? Is it time for you to dig a well so you could give some people some drink? Is it time for you to do what? What is God calling you to do right now? You know, thank God Moses didn't come out of the wilderness and go build a church and say, hey, come to my church. No, he went to the people. They were the church. And he led them out of slavery, for goodness sake, under the power and influence of God Almighty. What does God want you to do? What does God want you to be? Where does God want you to go? I'm going to give you a clue right now, whether you're in or out. If you're in a position where you say, I'm not doing nothing, I'm staying right where I'm at no matter what, you're not ready. You have to be mobile right now. You have to be freed up. You have to put your plans away, your thoughts away, your ideas away. And you need to say, God, if you want to use me today, I am here. And I love the scripture in 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2, man, I could not get this out of my spirit all night last night. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, let's see if you or I fit into this paradigm, okay? It says in verse 20, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 20, but in a great house, he's talking about God's house, there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man, therefore, purge himself or herself from these, the dishonorable qualities of wood, hay, stubble, and all that, if a man will purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified, and meet for the master's use. Hallelujah. And prepared unto every good work. My God, do you hear that, saints? Are you purging yourself from the earthly qualities of wood, hay, stubble? Come on. Are you getting rid of that old, rotten, carnal nature that produces nothing but thorns and thistles? Envy, jealousy, debate, strife, argument, anger, and blah, 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 blah. Are you getting that stuff stinks? So if a man purge himself, male or female, he will be what? He will be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use and prepared unto every good work. That's what God is ready to do right now. He's looking for vessels of honor so that they might be vessels meet for the master's use. He has a use for you right now. The Lord is looking for useful individuals. Are you one of them? Yes, you are. Yes, you are. If you tune into this ministry, this has been the calling to prepare a people for the times, to make them ready for the Lord. You must still be going along because you're all in. You can't be half in and be a part of this ministry. You can't be three quarters of the way in and be a part of this ministry. If you're a follower of this work, you know the Spirit of God is calling you and I to usefulness, to sanctification, to purification, to purging, to perfection, to honor, to newness of life, so that we could be available to do what Jesus did and even greater works that he do. Now, he also says, in order to do this in verse 22, flee. You got to flee something. Where? What? Flee also youthful lust. Hey, isn't it time to give up the youthful lusts, whatever they are? They're youthful. They're lusts that we had in our youth. Are we not yet mature? Are we not ready to get rid of them, flee them, put them away? I've had enough of that. There's nothing new under the sun. I've done it many times. Whatever it is, I don't need to repeat it. I've done it. I've experienced it. And it's a fading glory. But I'm going to flee youthful lusts. I'm going to follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them. So we're not alone in the journey. I'm going to follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. That's what your ecclesia should be. The ecclesia that you belong to, the body that you're connected to, should be people who call upon the name of the Lord out of a pure heart, and they are all following, number one, his righteousness, what is right to God, and not our own righteousness. What is right to God. And then you were following the faith and we're following charity. You got to have a lot of charity in community living. You're following peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. And then he says in 23, but foolish and unlearned questions avoid. Where do foolish and unlearned questions come from? Immaturity, childish, it's foolish child stuff. It's time to grow up. You can't be a meat ready for the master's use if you're still, or we are still immature. He says, avoid foolish and unlearned questions. Avoid them. Stay away from the stupid stuff, in other words. Knowing that they do gender strifes. Man, don't engage in conversation that's going to gender strife. Stay away from the stupid stuff. And then here's the key. This is the part that got me, because this is you. This is what I'm thinking you are. This is what I hear God saying about you. And the servant of the Lord must not strive. Okay, here we're going to do it. I wasn't going to do it, but we're going to do it. Let me do it, because we got to do it, because it's Friday. We're going to do it. So we're not going to, certainly must not strive. You ready? I want to just get this, because this is instruction. This is instruction. And what it says in 2 Timothy 2:24, the servant, and by the way, that word there, that is the doulos. Now, if this is where you and I need to become, okay? This is these are the servants in the book of Revelation that were entrusted with the revelation prophecy. These are the doulos. Now, listen to the definition of a doulos. And then ask yourself, are you a real servant? All right, because here it is. A doulos is a slave one who is in subjection. And I love this definition because it talks about one who gives himself up to another's will. Those whose service is used by Christ in extending and advancing his cause among men. So it's devoted to another to the disregard of his own interest. Huh? A true servant, a doulos servant, someone that could be entrusted with the business of the kingdom, is somebody who is devoted to another to the disregard of one's own interests. It's one who gives himself up to another's will. In other words, a true doulos servant is what Paul's talking about here, is somebody that has given up their own interest. They no longer live for themselves. They live for the interest and the will of one greater. And who is that? Our master. Jesus is our master. He is our master. We are his slaves. We are to be slaves to him. Meaning, we don't live for ourselves. Now, not everybody can boast that, but Paul said the servant, the doulos of the Lord, must not strive. Now, that word strive there is the makomi, and that means to fight. It means to struggle. It means to war, to quarrel, to dispute. So you must not strive. Can't be a brawler, so to speak. Okay, the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men. You see me? Aren't I gentle all the time? Well, it depends on what your definition of gentle is. If you think, well, he's not gentle, look at the volume of his voice. I think you have a misunderstanding of what gentle is. The word gentle here actually means, it's the apios, and it means affable, mild, kind. And you find out if a person is like that, not by a broadcast on a video machine, by meeting them face to face and doing life with them. Find out if they're kind. Find out if they're affable. Find out if they're relaxed and willing to help. You can't find out by somebody preaching behind a pulpit. You got to do life with them. Okay? So he says the servant must be gentle unto all men, must be able to teach, praise God. He must be patient, or she must be patient. And what is that, patient? Man, it's the anaskatkakos, right? And that word means patient of ills and wrongs, forbearing. So in other words, the servant of the Lord can't get bent out of shape too quickly. But then here it is, folks. Listen, in meekness, watch this. You, the servant of the Lord, you, the servant of the Lord, are to be in meekness, in meekness, which is humility, instructing those that oppose themselves. Ooh, how many people are opposing themselves, right? They oppose themselves by a mindset. So instructing or instruction is to undo the mental bondage that the devil has them in. Watch. So it's in meekness, the servant of the Lord is instructing. And let's just look at that word instructing. It's the paduo, and that literally means to train up a child. It means to educate, to discipline, to chasten, okay, to teach. So the servant of the Lord has to be able to educate, to train up, to discipline, okay? That has to happen in the ministry. But what's he doing it for? He's instructing those that oppose themselves. What does it mean to oppose yourself? Well, here's a really long Greek word. It's the antidiatithemi, okay? And what does that mean? It means to place one's self in opposition, okay, to the truth. It means to set oneself opposite or to be disputatious. Okay, so when you oppose yourself, you're setting yourself in opposition to God's truth about who you are. You may have a mindset, I'm unworthy, I'm not worth anything, I'm an idiot, I'm stupid, I'm this, I'm that. That is in total opposition to what God says you are and who God says you are, right? Right? So you have these negative thoughts about yourself. You have condemnation, guilt, shame, the memory of the past, hurts, wounds, bondages, generational curses, and all of that stuff is in you and you're thinking about it, and it's against God who's telling you something else. Now watch what he says. The servant of the Lord must, through meekness, instruct those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance. Now think about it. You and I are to instruct people that are opposing themselves. They're in opposition to God's heart and God's will and God's mind and God's word about them. Now, when we instruct them in the truth, God is looking at their heart. And if their heart is resistant, if their heart is hard, if they don't really want to know God's word, they don't have any desire to obey God's word, God sees that. He will not give them repentance. But when instruction comes and people are broken and they're hurting, my God, I've always thought this negativity about myself. I thought I was useless and worthless, and I felt so much guilt, shame, and condemnation. I didn't know there was mercy for me. I didn't know there was grace for me. And you're telling me, you're instructing me about God's love for me, and God is looking at that heart, and it's just pounding for God's – well, God will give that person repentance. He'll grant them – you can't just repent on your own. Repentance is a gift that God gives to the repentant heart, to the sinner that feels the compunction and the conviction of his sin. So God then, as our job is to instruct, we can't make people repent. We can't do it. We can instruct them, okay? God gives the repentance to the acknowledgement of the truth. So if they have a repentant heart, God gives them that repentant heart. They have desire. They're going to come to the truth. And what's going to happen? verse 26, that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil. Do you know somebody that opposes God's heart for them? Do you know somebody, you look at them and you go, man, God really loves this person. God has dreams for this person. God has calling all over this person's life. God has an anointing. God has a life. God has a blessing. God has a calling, a function. There's something unique. Man, look at this person. God loves this person. And yet they oppose themselves in their own mind because they're in the snare of the devil. They fell into the devil's trap of condemnation, right? So you're instructing them as a servant so that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, the mental snare, the hook, the snare, the snag in their mind, right? But comes recovery, deliverance, who are taken captive by him at his will. Ooh. See, when the devil has a hook in your mind, in your soul, and he got you in the snag, he'd take you captive, whatever he wants to. He's got a hook in you. So you could be going down the road, hippity-doo-dah, zippity-yay, my oh my, what a wonderful day. Wham! He'll pull it back. He owns you. So the servant of the Lord is instructing those who are opposing because they're in the trap of the devil how to get out. But they got to want to get out. You know, I've met people that have been in prison for so long, they get out on the streets, they just want to go back to prison. It's a mindset. But folks, I'm telling you, I have tasted bondage and I have tasted liberty in Christ, not American freedom. I've tasted gospel freedom and there's no comparison. And this is God's desire for you because he wants you to become a vessel meet for the master's use, a vessel of honor so that he could pour himself through you to go do the work, whatever it is in this day. Obviously, winning souls makes one wise. No doubt about that. Being salt, being light, living a life that communicates a message to people that's a little bit different than everybody else in the world. Actually, if you're real salt and real light with kingdom salt and light, it makes good people look bad. Because there are a lot of nice people, but in reality, they're not nice because they have a human nature behind their cover-up that's not good. You and I get to produce the salt and light from a new experience, a new nature, born again, new spiritual life. We don't have to listen to the old mind. We have to always remember that the carnal mind is hostile against God. It will not obey God, Romans chapter 8. So to try to live at it, reform it, renovate it is a useless waste of time. Start filling the mind of Christ with the knowledge of Christ and start living out of that. I am blessed. I am loved. I am forgiven. Mercy has been extended. I want the mercy. I don't ever want to do what I've done before. I received the unmerited favor of God in my life, the grace of God. There's a calling on my life. My name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. I praise God and I want to guard it. I don't want it erased. I want to live in a manner where I'm not putting myself in jeopardy. And even though it gets a little insane sometimes because this warfare between the devil and my own flesh and the carnal mind, it gets kooky. But I keep the course. I keep reading the word. I keep washing my brain. I keep the blood of Jesus speaking on my behalf, not guilty. I keep doing what is right even when nobody's looking. We just keep walking the walk. And one day, and this is that day, God's going to call your name. And God's going to say, son, daughter, I've been observing you since the beginning of time, and I have now allowed you to go through these fires, these trials, these testings. I've wanted to see what's in your heart towards your brother. I wanted to see what was in your heart towards your friend. I wanted you to see what was in your heart towards your spouse. I wanted to see what's in your heart, and I wanted you to see. And if you saw something that wasn't consistent with my word, I wanted to give you the opportunity to confess it and repent. And so God has been watching, and the day is now come. He's going to call your name, and he's going to call you and say, come over here. Peter and James, John, they were fishermen. Jesus walked by and says, boys, come over here. Matthew is collecting taxes. Hey, son, get over here. And so it went. Luke was a physician. Get over here, son. Come over here. the time of the Lord calling for this moment on this earth. He's not calling the superstar ministry. He may. There may be a superstar minister up there that's shining like the sun because he's obeyed and loved God. He may call him in. There may be a lot of them. But there's also people that nobody's ever heard before. Never heard them ever before. And he's calling. Are you one of them? Are you ready for the calling? You say, where are you getting this information from? Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit. That's where I'm getting it from. I'm getting it from the Holy Spirit to tell you something. All right, so now it's your turn to talk. I'm so excited right now. I'm ready to burst. You have no idea. The belly is ready to burst. Like a woman, this must be what a woman feels like when she's pregnant. Something, life in there just going, let it grow, let it explode. I want to say good morning to Callie. Good morning, Callie. God bless you, sister. God's got a great calling on your life. I'm going to tell you that right now if you're still listening. Great calling on your life. You're going to step into that destiny. He's going to clean some things up. He's going to polish it, furbish it, make you ready like a sharp sword. Get ready, sister. Laquita, same thing. What is the calling of God? It's more administrative. I see in you more administrative work of the Holy Spirit, some kind of kingdom thing that's going on there with administrative, something that's just giving out some way and some help for the saints. It's administrative. There's something there. Laquita, I believe that. Bonnie, missionary Bonnie, God bless you and Jim. We love you so much. If you're still tuning in, traveling all over the world, we're so glad you didn't sell your home, by the way, and you're still near us. God bless you. We're so glad we'll be seeing much more of you. I see Brother Michael, Pastor Michael Villarin, saying aloha, the ohana of God, Brother Michael. All right, the ohana. I'm not sure what the ohana is. Aloha, the ohana of God. Maybe that means glory. What a calling on your life, Brother Michael. Pastor Mike, what a glory that God has for you. Sonia, good morning, Pastor Vince and Saints. Good morning, Sonia. If you're still there, you're one special sister. We love you. God bless you. I don't think you've even begun to see. What I see is a sculptor in you, and I see that God is sculpting something, and he's bringing forth an internal image out of the rock. I don't even know what that means. I just believe that's what God's saying to you, Sonia. There's a life-giving image on the inside of you, and that image is Christ. It's Holy Spirit anointing. It's so liberated and free, flexible, and moving and abounding in the purpose and grace of God Almighty. That's for you. I believe it with all my heart. Sharon Evans, good morning. Please pray for my mother. She is in the hospital with heart issues. Sharon Evans, in the name of Jesus Christ, right now we pray for your mother that she will have one heart issue. It's a love for God. And the doctors and the nurses will say there's no heart issue here. She's healed in the name of Jesus. Your mother's healed in the name of Jesus. We agree. And the Lord is going to stabilize her heart, but it's going to be pounding out of beat for her love for the Messiah, Yeshua. May God inspire that in her in Jesus' name. Carol Carey, good morning, brothers and sisters. May God grace us with his abiding presence. Boy, the abiding presence of God, I'm all in. Carol, I am all in. Pastor Kevin Honeycutt, good morning, Pastor. Pastor Kevin, my brother, you've got to be released. You have an anointing on your life and a gift, and I believe a sobriety is complementing the measure of the gift that God has given you, and I believe a maturity of that mantle that God has given you. I believe God's about to he's about to download some brand new unction to function in what you already have been doing, but it's going to clarify a glory of holiness and righteousness and purification and deep intrinsic work. Pastor Kevin Honeycutt, you've got to be released. I believe you're one that God's going to call your name. Say, son, it's time to go do this, that, and the other thing. Get ready. Jim Baltimore. Jim says, we are in the sorrows and birth pains right now. We agree. He says, Erdogan, Gog, White Horseman is going to change the whole Middle East in the next year as Daniel 8 happens and the Kurds align with Iran, Turkey, crushes them both. Man, I'm all into that. I do believe you're right. Islam has been very quiet. We used to talk a lot about it. Maybe it's going to be resurfacing again. So God would have to make ready a people for what's coming on this earth, right? Right. God bless you, Jim, for your comment. Pastor Kevin, good morning, Pastor, and everybody. Scarlett Dill, our dear friend Scarlett, sister Scarlett, she plays a ukulele. Fun stuff. She says, good morning, Pastor Vincent. I love your proclamations this morning. There is no other name under heaven by which we can be saved. Thank you for the thumbs up, Scarlett. Hostess with the mostess. That's who God's working in you right now. Hostess with the mostess. God bless you. Pastor Kevin says, the greatest miracle of all, salvation. Thank you, Lord. We totally agree with that. Our dear friend David Ellison saying good morning. Laquita saying good morning. Dennis Sossaman, good morning. Another day to get it right. Good morning, Pastor Kevin, to everybody out there. He says, good morning, brother. There's good communication. Cindy is on her way to California. I'm going to have to be a quick, co-op. Going to get in and get out. And may God perform a miracle to tie up loose ends, whatever that means, loose ends, no wasted time, kaboom, kabam, shaboom, shabam, you're in, you're out, work done, whatever it is, miracles, whatever it is, loose ends being tied up for you. Donna Frazier, good morning, Pastor Vincent and brethren, good morning, Donna, so good to hear from you. God bless you, your family, and your son, Jeff. Over in the Arizona area, I believe. Kim Bowling, 15-year journey for me. I was baptized in 2005. And Kim, what a gifted baptism it must have been. You must have got immersed in the sweet waters of the Holy Spirit because, sister, you continue to honor the Lord with your gift of worship and praise. God bless you. Only God knows. We believe, Sister Kim, that God's going to open a door of opportunity for you, and we believe it's going to be a right one. And though it was pried shut, the glory of God's going to bend that pry, and he's going to open a door, and you're going to skip forth like the calves out of the stall into the glory of destiny that God has for you. I believe it with all my heart. In Jesus' name. All right, Cindy says, good morning, Pastor Honeycutt. Boy, Kevin, you get a lot of people saying hello to you. They must have really liked you. I think we all did. All right, Dean Smith, praise God. Hey, Dean, thank you. I was up this morning around 6 a.m. I had to back out the RV in the place that you prepared, and I wanted to say thank you. Thank you so much for the work you've done to make a little driveway for our RV so that we could come and go in the days that lie ahead so we could do the work that God's called us to do to start home fellowships all across the country so that the glory will be in every house where the saints are, and God will set a defense around that glory. That's the work. So thank you, dear brother. Staying the walk, Cindy says. Kevin, good morning, sister. Kim Bowling was saying, preach. Okay, I did. Now, Jim Baltimore is saying, did you know that there is a code in Revelation 8:13 that tells you how to read the 22 chapters in the proper order? No, let's go on. Why do the 5th, 6th, and 7th trumpet reoccur in multiple chapters of Revelation? Why does John have 3 additional visitors in heaven? One of the elect, one of the nations, peoples, one of Mystery Babylon. Revelation 8:13 is a warning, and it tells us what. Hey, Jim, next time I come on radio, I want you to join me. I'm inviting you. I don't know who you are right now, but I'm going to invite you. Anybody that talks about the book of Revelation is on my page. So I want to go there. Let's talk about the book of Revelation. Give me a contact. Give me a call. I'll leave my number. Text me, whatever. Let's schedule an appointment for you to share what it is that God revealed to you. That sounds really important. And I love what you said about the Middle East as well. I noticed both eights in Daniel 8 and then Revelation 8. Very interesting. Let's talk. Okay, Pastor Kevin says yes, and he says, God is calling the no-names to come out and say and do his will. It's time. Preach it, man of God. Thank you, Kevin. God bless you. I know. Lisa Fitzner, good morning. Good morning, Lisa. God bless you. Pastor Kevin Honeycutt again, 2 Timothy 2:21. If a man, therefore, purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified, meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. That's the scripture of the day. I believe it. Kim Bowling, amen, Pastor Kevin. Confirmation. Dean Smith says, amen, praise God. And then we get into, wow, look at this. Here comes the big hitters. You ready for this? Woof, this is getting big. Stick with what works. Stay away from the philosophies, the questions, the fables, and everything that contradicts God's word. He's still in. That's Pastor Kevin Honeycutt again. Gayla Lawrence, Sharon Evans, I pray Holy Spirit will reveal the root cause of your mom's heart issue so she is accurately, efficiently, effectively treated and discharged In Jesus' name, shalom to you both. We agree. Amen. Kim Bowling, you have to instruct them out of spirit of love and meekness without criticism. Okay. Criticism, I guess, could be constructive at times. Judgmental criticism, nah, we don't need that. I agree. Melissa Fletcher, walk the walk and talk the talk. Stay faithful and true to the Lord Jesus. Way to go, Melissa. That is the truth. That's what we do. Sonia says, amen, Pastor, speak. Kim, I'm in. You have to encourage yourself in the Lord. So we're in. Good. I was looking for those answers. Callie says, thank you, Pastor. Blessings. Sonia says, Angelina says, hi and shalom, everyone. Hello, Angelina. How's the journey going? Praise God. Total intrinsic inward healing, restoration, cells, blood, everything, nerves, everything under the anointing, the precious oil of the Holy Ghost, soothing everything in the inward parts, healing, restoring in Jesus' name. Gayla says, this is a profound and accurate word you are releasing, Pastor Vincent. I will have to listen again to absorb all that was released. Amen. Thank you for that, my prophetic sister. Kim Bowling, amen, Gayla. George Wright, Ohana means family. Well, okay, Michael, I thought it meant glory. Ohana, family. Praise the Lord and pass the ammunition. Marissa Atterbury is with us today. She says, good morning to my brothers and sister. Ohana means family. Thank you, Marissa. Kathy Bruns, great message and teaching to the bride, the body of Christ. I love you, Jesus. Hallelujah. She loves Jesus. Thank you, Pastor Vincent, from Cindy. And then, of course, thank you, Pastor Vincent, for sharing what the Spirit of God told you to speak over me. I receive and my Yah have all the glory. Praise the Lord. That's for my sister, Sonia. Donna Frazier, great message. I'll be writing you about our community getting together and preparing spiritually and physically. God is moving. Jim Baltimore, I would love to have a conversation, and there is a code. It is so cool. Well, Jim, we're going to have that conversation. Kim Bowling, yes and amen. I agree with what you spoke over me. Well, praise God. We have a lot of agreement today, and we're going to be heading out in about 2 minutes. We've got about 3 minutes, is it? Maybe a few more minutes. And let's kind of silah everything right now. Man, if you're all in, get ready. I mean, think about it. Tax collectors were brought out. Fishermen were brought out. Physicians were brought out. You're coming out of what you've been doing, and you're about to step into a dynamic of walking with Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit to do what he wants to get done, because you're a doulos servant. You don't live for yourself anymore. And you know if you follow the Lord, he's going to take care of every need in your life. He's going to watch over you. And there will be a Holy Spirit ordination to that calling. God will bear witness in the heart to bring ordination and calling, to release, to function. Are you ready? Are you ready to hear your name called? Samuel! Samuel! Yes, Lord. Eli knew the calling of God. The calling of God was coming on a young man. You're about to hear your name. And when you hear it, you get ready, because that's not our Father speaking in vain. And he's not just going to, you're getting ready for something. To the level that you've had to go through and survive and remain is the depth of the ministry that you're going to. You always dig down first, folks. Before you ever build a building, before you ever build a skyscraper, you got to dig down. And God's been digging down into your life since the moment he called you, because he had a purpose before you ever existed. He's already known what you're here for. He's not just going, okay, what can I do with you? No, he knows who you are, and he's ready to call you into a function that's going to complement his kingdom. Get ready for a supernatural unction, because it won't be you doing it. You're just going to do what the Lord says, because you're honoring him, because you're a doulos servant. You're going to go to set the captives free, and that's what it's really all about. Set the captives free before they perish in eternal slavery. That's it. That's it. That's it. And I see Nancy Honeycutt. I say, sorry we missed you during the feast, but I have a feeling we're going to meet you one day. God bless you and your family. Hallelujah. Thank you for all the prayers. I could feel the Holy Spirit touching my life and my mother's. Awesome. Have a blessed day, saints. Sunday, by the way, is Patricia and I's 28th wedding anniversary. Sunday, October 18th, we'll be celebrating our anniversary. And we have not stopped running for several weeks. We are going to be resting next week, hopefully with our new laptop computer that a brother blessed us with. We'll be able to be with you next Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, but it'll be from a remote location. We'll see how that goes. We'll look forward to seeing you next week. We love you, saints. God bless you, saints. Rise up, saints, and have an awesome weekend. And gather together with the saints. Right now, Omega Radio, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. There's a roundtable discussion. You can listen to it all day long. There's a roundtable discussion going on right now with Patricia Joy Xavier. We'll see you next week. God bless your hearts. Shalom.